Turn with me, if you would please, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to talk this morning about seeing to see. Seeing to see. Anybody in this room besides me ever have frustration trying to see things? How many in this room are nearsighted? Okay, you can, yeah, okay, how many are farsighted? How many are wish you were one or the other? When I was a kid, from kindergarten to eighth grade, I wore glasses. I couldn't see properly. I had a wandering eye, and my mom told me about this later. As a little boy, I had a wandering eye. In fact, I think I had glasses and instruction on seeing from the time I was 3 years of age and on. This one just wouldn't come in line, and I needed strengthening exercises, and so there were exercises my mother worked with me on constantly. But finally, in eighth grade, we had moved to Denver, Colorado. I lived about 28 places before I was 18, so one of the many stopping spots was Denver, Colorado. We lived in Arvada, actually, and I was sitting at the back of the room wearing glasses, and I just couldn't see through the glasses. And so I would take them off and I could read the board. And I was taking my glasses off all the time, and my mom finally took me in to an eye doctor, and the eye doctor took one look at me and sat down, gave me an exam, and he turned to my mom. I just remember this like it was yesterday. Turned to my mom with anger. And he said, "Whoever gave glasses to this boy? He's got 20/20 vision." And she told him the story, and he went, "I see. That makes total sense." Sometimes as children, you grow out of, especially farsightedness, but once my eye was strengthened, and it just took some time to grow into the strength. But as you can testify along with me, as I've got a little older, it's not so easy. You feel like you play trombone every now and then? And you look to see in a distance. And there are some people, I was driving down the road 2 weeks ago. We were driving down the road with Vern and Pat, or maybe Vern and I were heading somewhere, and he reads out this highway sign. And all I could see was a green thing out there. And he read the whole thing. I'm going, "Could you see that?" He says, "Yeah." Like, "What's wrong with you? You can't." And it took me quite a while before the words came into focus, and it gets frustrating. There is a thing in nearsightedness called myopia. Myopia. And myopia, actually, is nearsightedness. And it's a vision condition in which people can see close objects clearly, but objects farther away appear blurred. We're going to do a little spiritual glass cleaning this morning. A little tune-up. Have you ever had a device at home, something possibly a chair or a table that you needed to tighten the screws on because it got a little wobbly? Maybe this will help this morning in our own sight. Close objects, clearly, but objects farther away appear blurred. This morning, Jesus is going to help us see. Now, when it comes to glasses, naturally, or to myopia, you can do several things. Or with vision, you can do several things. You can get glasses. You can change glasses. As you get older, you can change glasses again and then again. Thank God there's something you can do. And, you know, also LASIK surgery for some sorts of vision issues have become very fantastic. My son, I think I have two of my three sons who have done that, changed their lives. They were, I think one of the next steps for one of my sons was literally a legal blindness issue. And he got LASIK surgery, completely changed his life. You know, you can correct, you can get glasses, you can do some diabetic issues, you can change your life, and some of it will help. But this morning, I want to talk about a section of Scripture that follows the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We're at the time of the Passover. And one of the greatest feasts in Israel. And we're reaching the end of Jesus' life and ministry. get the understanding of the picture. There's throngs all around, cheering crowds. They believe Jesus is going to come into the city, and he's going to be set up now as king and overthrow the Romans. Many believe that. Some of his disciples, some say Judas, may have had that in mind and was so disappointed when Jesus didn't do that, that he then betrayed him. Who knows? Possibly. But Jesus also, by the time this occurs, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, how many think that went around like a news story? We have Twitter, we have Snapchat, we have Facebook, we have news channels, 24-hour news, and man, things happen quickly now in terms of the news going. But Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, that was certainly an attention getter, don't you think? The disciples bore witness. People were standing, surrounding him, cheering. The Pharisees are upset. And they complain among themselves in John 12, verse 19. They say to themselves, you're accomplishing nothing. Meaning, your standing against the furtherance of this man and his ministry is accomplishing nothing. The world has gone after him. Miracles in the scripture, as you'll notice, capture attention so the gospel can be preached. By the way, let me just do a quick aside. The book of Revelation tells us that at the end of days, miracles will even happen to deceive the very elect if it were possible. Because not every miracle is a miracle from the hand of God. Do you know what I'm saying, church? I know we love miracles and we want to see miracles, but the fruit, you look at the fruit. The fruit of something that's really sincere from the Lord brings you to Jesus. People get saved. The gospel is preached. There's fruit that brings you closer to the Lord. But there is a parallel kind of miracle that can happen upon occasion, and the fruit is demonic and not of the Lord. How many remember when the magicians in Pharaoh's court copied what Moses had been accomplishing? There came a time where they couldn't, but have you ever wondered how in heaven's name could they copy any of those miracles that had happened? You read your Old Testament and wonder about that. And some of those things happen. So the fruit is to bring us closer to Jesus. 10 lepers are healed. Only one returned to give him thanks. How many remember who the one was? He was a Samaritan. That's right. He was a Samaritan. How many want to be, even if it's only one, we want to turn around and give God thanks, don't we? We want the fruit of being made whole. And that's what Jesus said to the one. 9 went away having received a healing, 1 received the word from the Lord that he was made whole. Big difference there. There's a whole message there in itself. I want to repeat what we've been saying over the last few weeks. Would you read this out loud with me, please? Casual is the enemy of true faith. Say it again. Casual is the enemy of true faith. Indifference, no hunger, no fire leads you to nothing. Being touched by the Lord is nice. Being changed by Jesus lasts forever. How many want a touch from the Lord? Sure. How many want to be changed by the Lord? Because that endures and lasts forever. Let's look at the scripture in John 12. I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, ask. I know Bill is happy to help get scriptures for people or someone else if you don't have one. See it in your own Bible first. And of course, I'll have it up here in different version as well. John 12, 20-26. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, and what? It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And there I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Watch it out of the message. I'll have that up here. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it's never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Say that with me, would you please? If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Have you ever had a time in your life where you know the Lord's working on something, but you just don't get it? Come on, can you be honest with me? I don't get it. Sometimes things happen and you get all ticked off, you get all troubled and you go, what's this all about? What are you after in me, Lord? And church, that's the best way to stop long enough and say, wait a minute, you know, the old song, Royal will quote this one for you, but it's not the teacher, it's not the preacher, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not what just happened with that other person. It's, what are you doing in me, Jesus? I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand. Let's talk about commotion or promotion. Commotion or promotion. Now, we're back with Jesus. We're in John 12. They've had the triumphant entry. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. There's commotion. There's a crowd. There's a celebration. Jesus has gone for a donkey ride, and people's garments are thrown down in front of him. They're welcoming in the Messiah. Lazarus is raised. There's cheers. This is huge. And it's Passover time. Jerusalem is jam-packed to the gills with people. Sometimes, if you're honest, I'll be honest, sometimes we just want to see the show. You know, there's a commotion. There's something going on. What's going on? Sometimes we just want to see the show. Now, those who manage famous people see this, what's going on right now, is an incredible opportunity. Make yourself famous. The crowds have gathered. It's one of the biggest times of the year. Come on, Jesus, step up. They're asking for you. Step up. Be the king. Be the Messiah. Take the throne. This is your moment. Step up. Are you ready for Jesus' response? Number one, some Greeks. Some Greeks gathered around because they wanted to see Jesus. So now listen, some of these might have been Hellenists, Greek Hellenists who followed the Greek ways, but some of them might have been God-fearers. We've spoken about the God-fearing group before, those who attached themselves to the Israelites to learn of their faith, to become of Hebrews. But the Greeks overall were the wanderers of the ancient world and seekers of truth, if you will. These Greeks, again, probably God-fearers, they attended Jewish synagogues and feasts, and their coming, honestly, to this celebration and to Jesus is symbolic of the fact that Gentiles are going to come to worship God through Christ. How many are glad that you've been saved and redeemed by the Lord? Come on. How many know that by grace you're a Gentile saved by faith? Right? Not many of us in this room probably are of Jewish or Israeli heritage. So we are grafted in, Gentiles saved by His grace. But the Greeks said, we wish to see Jesus. Say it with me. We wish to see Jesus. They make a request. We want to lay eyes on Him. We want to observe Him. We want to see what all the fuss is about. It's a good thing. It's a good request. It's not bad. They possibly, by the way, approach Philip because he has a Greek name from Bethsaida. He might have been Greek and it might have been easier for them to approach. But isn't it interesting? Man of real faith and power, Philip, instead of taking him right to Jesus, goes and gets Andrew. So that's kind of funny. You know, we're stronger in teams sometimes, aren't we? So Jesus, though, takes it deeper. Jesus takes the next step from commotion and promotion to the deepest need. Are you all awake? Punch each other, say, really listen carefully. Jesus always takes it deeper, doesn't he? He always does. Are you ready for his response? He wants to help you. He wants to help me. in our time of need. But honestly, he might answer differently than we expect him to sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? Lord, I've got this request, and he comes on and does this thing over here. And you go, but I wasn't after that. And he goes, but I am. Okay, I'll move over here then. I want to be where you are. And if you're doing this, I'll move in here and work with you on this. So Jesus then has a response. Jesus' response, John 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them. Remember, they had a request. Remember what the request was? Remember what it was? I want to see Jesus. So here comes his response. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Could you imagine standing around going, what? That wasn't what I asked. I want to see Jesus. But Jesus recognizes there's something deeper going on and it's time to be revealed. They've come for the show. Jesus has come to save. They've come for the show. Jesus has come to save. Soon, literally, what they see will revolutionize the entire world and change all of human history. And it's probably not the show they wanted to see. But what happens next, as the week unfolds in the Lord's life, will change all of time and eternity. Do you really know what you asked, Greeks? You've heard this, I'm sure. The little boy went up and said, Dad, where'd I come from? Dad has been preparing for this moment for years. Sits his son down. His son, I've prepared a long time and I'm ready to talk to you about where you've come from. And he gives him all the 9-yard speech that he's practiced and prepared for himself, you know, his gulp. You know, this moment's finally here. Talks about the birds and the bees. Birds and the bees, that's good. Talks about the birds and the bees. Talks about sex and love and marriage and all of those things. And the kid's just quiet and kind of stunned and sitting there and listening to his dad. And his dad goes on and on and on. And after a few minutes, Dad says, so do you understand? And does that help? Little boy looks at him and goes, all I wanted to know was I born at the hospital and where? What city? Sometimes, do we really know what we're asking? At the end of Jesus' response today, you could possibly hear the thoughts of these Greeks. All we said was we wanted to see him. 3 keys to really seeing Jesus. Now, I want a show of hands. How many in this room really want to see him? I want to see him. And if there's something that's not working, Lord, I want to see you. If I need new glasses, if I need something different, then let's work on that. I'll walk with you step by step and turn to each other and say, isn't grace amazing? And we walk with each other and we walk together in love through these things when the Lord's channeling us deeper in some stuff. And Jesus says to us this morning here, as he says to the Greeks, put on these glasses and this will help you see. 3 keys to really seeing Jesus. Number one, to see costs. Say that with me. To see costs. We need to die to ourselves. Ouch! What does it say in John 12, 24, New King James? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Huh? I just said I just want to see you. He says, okay. Here's the first step. Except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So what Jesus is saying, first step to seeing, I'm going to take you through something where you have to choose. Do you want me really bad enough to really see me? Look at it out of the New Living. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Listen carefully, it says out of the message. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it's never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. Now, I got to tell you, how many want to be a Greek scholar in the room? Any interest in understanding Greek? Okay, that got a couple more. Anybody want to know what the definition is here this morning? Come on, raise your hands. I got to have your hands raised. Okay, put them down. What I'm here to tell you is you do a deep study of the word die. It's an incredible study. You go to it and you search it out, and what it means is die. That's what it means. Now you can look at each other and say, I'm a Greek scholar. How about you? And I didn't even have to raise my hand. The word die in the Greek means die. A process. A death process. Which brings fruit. How many thousands, you guys, how many thousands have fought and died on foreign shores and given their lives in battle on our behalf so we sit here this morning basking in the fruit of freedom that they purchased for us by their lives being planted into the soil of death that we might live. Sometimes, if you allow the Lord to work with you in such a way that you die to yourself, this is what I want to do. And the Lord says, no, it'll be more fruitful if you say no to that thing. May not be big sin here. That's not the issue. But I have something better for you. Lord, I want to live here and I want to go do this. I want to go do that. And God says, if you'll just abide with me and follow me in this, I will bear fruit through you that you would never have imagined to see. Why am I here, Lord? Why am I back here? Why am I in Port Ludlow, Port Gamble? Why am I here? And the Lord says, if you'll hang on, honey, there are people that I'm going to help you reach that nobody else could reach. There's fruit from your life that your family and others might see. You may think, oh, that's nothing. It's taken forever. Nothing's happening. And God says, I've got my stamp and my hand on you, and I've got fruit to bring through you that others can see that you can't if you'll abide with me right here. You go, oh, die to what I want to say yes to what he wants. Now that's a big preaching moment. Y'all want to go home now? You're all happy now, aren't you? What Kevin preached about, I don't know. It was just a bunch of death. The issue is we want to see Jesus. And he says, okay. You sure? Yeah, we want to see Jesus. Are you really sure? Yes, are you triply sure? Because I want your commitment before I answer. Yes, Lord, we want to see you. He goes, okay. Number one, a corn of wheat falls on the ground and dies. Huh? Says there's a process here if you want to tune up your sight that I have to work with. Now, we're used to paying for what we want to see. You go to a movie, what do? Buy it. If you download it on Netflix, if you go to a movie theater, if you pay money. We just returned from a cruise to Alaska. We wanted to go on a boat for some reason, and it rocked and 3 days. You go, okay, I paid for that privilege. But it was a blessing. It was a tremendous blessing for us. But if you want to go see the Seahawks, you pay bucks, big bucks. You want to go see the Mariners, who are mostly, wow, what a different season for the Mariners. Anyway, you pay money to see them, and we're used to that. And the first thing Jesus says is, okay, not salvation by grace. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you really want to grow and see me? There's a cost. And we're used to that in every other area of life. But we go, no, it's all free. It's all free. And Jesus said, well, it cost me everything. I don't know about you. But Jesus says, you want to grow? It costs. I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Is Jesus worth your surrender? Are you sure? We had nothing, church. We had nothing to his free gift of grace. Nothing. But he told his disciples to go and make disciples. He didn't say just go and preach. He says go and make disciples. Go and teach, says in the King James. Teach, become a pupil, disciple. Enroll as a scholar. Anybody ever have to work hard in school? Enroll as a scholar. There's something he's after, being a disciple. And so, Jesus speaks to these people with something they understand, agriculture. Something falls in the ground, dies, bears fruit in every discipline of life. Why do we think that casual will accomplish the sight we really want? If you get good at something, you do it after practice, right? How many just love basketball in this room? And you love shooting hoop. Love shooting hoop. You practice a little bit, you got better. Man, I remember years and years ago, we were in Pullman, and people were shooting hoops. And I admit, I was a yell leader. You can hear it in my voice. I'm even hoarse this morning. I yell a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just try to stir up the crowds. But I wasn't the guy out on the court. I was that way when I was younger. I was pretty good as a baseball player. But basketball wasn't my thing. So people are taking shots, and I go out and shoot it and miss it. Shoot it and miss it. Sherry walks in. She and Carl walk in after finishing a meeting. She looks around. She grabs a basketball, and I'm shooting and missing. She walks up, grabs a basketball. First time, go, all nothing but net. Yeah, she was wearing Michael Jordan's. But, you know, if you want to be a professional singer, you spend a lot of time singing. If you want to be an actor, you spend time acting. If you want to have a career, you spend time working on it. If we want to be disciples, we give time and attention to it. And saying no to ourselves. I don't want to go to church today. Hey, you all said yes to Jesus and no to your flesh. How many wanted to sleep in this morning? Let's see the show of hands. What's wrong with you guys? No, kidding. Sherry and I had our hands raised. No. But you're here. How many know you made God's heart happy because you showed up to be in the presence of the Lord and grow in Him? You know that? You made Him happy because you're saying, I'm a disciple and I want to grow and I want to learn and I want to be more of what He wants me to be. To see, number two, means you choose your first love. Read that with me, please. You choose your first love. Watch this. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates, literally hates this life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Whether the definition in the Greek is love less or literally having hatred for, what the Lord is saying is you need to hate that which is going to distract you away from having me as your first love. The Bible says, love not the world or the things of the world, because there is something that ensnares your heart. Doesn't mean you can't go do things. Doesn't mean you can't buy and you can't purchase things. It doesn't mean that. But if things have you, instead of you having things, then you substitute a love for the world over love for Jesus. Out of the NLT, New Living, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. You'll have it forever, real and eternity. Who do you love? Jesus. Come on, who do you love?
Jesus.
If you don't, be honest with yourself. I'm not trying to condemn anybody this morning, but help us all be able to see better. If things are kind of fuzzy and my focus is out and I'm not hearing or seeing the Lord in the way I really want to, could it be that I've adopted something in my life as more important than Him? Ouch. Preach it, brother. Go for it, Kevin. This is the best message I've heard in years. Go for it. But could it be? Sometimes. Sometimes it's myopic living on my part. And I can't see him too well. Myopic. Did you notice in the definition? Now, I'm going to give away a little something here, but did you notice spiritually in the definition? Myopic is I can focus clearly on things up close, but things in the distance I have a tough time seeing. If I want to see and understand the Word of God and grow in my relationship with Jesus, where do I have Him? Up close? Where am I with Him? Up close? Or in the distance? Personal attachment to. Don't love the world. Personal attachment to. Love. Cling to the world. Then we're not going to be able to see as better. To see means, number three, you follow Him wholly as a servant. You follow Him wholly as a servant. John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. In the Greek, the word follow means a road, literally a road, to be in the same way with, to accompany, especially as a disciple. The word honor, the Father will honor you, means He's putting a value on you. He reveres you. There's a price on your head before the Lord, where He sees you as valuable and priceless, if you will. Serving, you know, the Greek word for serving here is, if you serve me, is being like a table waiter and attendance. You know, Sherry's taken a few cruises, and she made quite a statement to me this week when she said, out of all the cruises I've taken, the people on board this vessel who are serving us are the sweetest spirits of anyone we've ever had. And I have to say amen. The cruise wasn't the best, and the food wasn't the best, and I'm not going to stand here and complain, but what I'm here to remark about is these people were so sweet. And what we're saying, what Jesus is saying, is if you'll serve me, if you'll be like that waiter at the table, where he blinks and we say, yes, master, I'm watching. You want bread? You want some coffee? You want a pastry with that? And I say, okay, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord, because I'm watching. Holy follow. All they said was, we want to see Jesus. That's all they said. All they said was, we want to see Him. And Jesus says, to fix this sight problem, you need to put on these glasses. Number one, prioritize His way over yours. Prioritize loving Jesus more than loving yourself. Prioritize following Jesus no matter what. But not many did. Not many always do. Look at what happened in the scripture, verses 36 and 37 of John 12. While you have the light, Jesus has gone on teaching, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed. Read it with me, please. And was hidden from them. But although He had done so many signs before them, they didn't believe in Him. Out of the message, 36 and 37, Jesus said all this, then went into hiding. Wait a minute, Jesus is out in front. It's your time. He said it and hid away. All these God signs He had given them, and they still didn't get it, still wouldn't trust Him. They said they wanted to see Him, but not so much that they wanted to be changed to really see who He was. They didn't really want to surrender to Him, so He was hidden to them. Lord, we want to see You. In this room, we're saved by grace through faith, and we put on glasses. And if You want to work with us, You just keep working with us, Lord. And so we surrender wholly to You. And Lord, we choose You. We're not choosing the things of the world, and we're going to be Your servants. Now, this isn't a condemning message. If you find a way this morning in which you don't feel you fit up with what He's saying, what does it take? Repentance. What is repentance? Confessing, asking Him to forgive. Then turn around. What is repentance? Turn around. What do you mean, turn around? Well, let me show you what it means to turn around. I brought displays. What are these? Binoculars. And when you want to see things in the distance and bring them up close, what do? You take your binoculars. See the front? Where's the front? Which is the front? That side, right? Which is the side going in the distance? This side. It's hard to see on these. So if I want to see what's in the distance, I pick up my glasses and I look through this side, right? What? Why wouldn't I? You can't see. And in a moment, I'm going to run into Elaine because she still looks like she's way over there. Hi. Oh, sorry. But what is repentance? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm holding these backwards, aren't I? I'm not doing what I should be doing with the glasses you gave me. Forgive me. I repent and turn around. Oh, there you are. I see you so closely. And Cecil, I got to say, she's lovely. Repentance. I just turn the glasses around. And I say, thank you, Lord, because what I couldn't see before, I can see now. And what I want to see is you. So, Lord, if that's what it takes, you've given me glasses to see, then I choose you and your way, and I see it all pretty clearly now. How about you this morning? How about you? Simple message, a little spiritual vision tune-up this morning. And I recognize I got lots of room to grow, and I hope right along with me, you do too. Because when we do, we then get seeing to see. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, would you come? Let's go to that last song again. I sing praises to your name. God is so good, church, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We just simply go and say, okay, Lord, on our way with you, we're going to keep right on growing. Because Jesus, we want to see you. Father, we thank you for being so good this morning. Into your hands, we commit our lives. And we pray that you'll continue the growth process in us so we can keep being conformed to your image and keep seeing Jesus. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken something to your heart and you want to take time to pray, this area is open. Come on up and pray. If there's healing needed in your body, there'll be a team of people right over here in those chairs. If you have prayers, prayer requests, as Shannon shared this morning, come on up and we'll be honored to pray with you. Above all, go not discouraged or condemned. Go with a fresh hunger to be fully surrendered to Him and see Him. Let's see Jesus this week, shall we? Turn to each other and say, come on, let's go see Jesus. You know, it happens to disciples too. Vision wanes a little. Remember after Jesus died, before the full resurrection, He had resurrected, but there was this guy walking down a road with two disciples who were very discouraged. They thought life was going to happen this way, and it didn't happen that way. Jesus did something different. But they kept walking with this guy, and he asked them, what are you talking about? What's the problem here? And they told him, are you the only one in Israel who doesn't know what's going on? Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? He just lived it. Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? And he begins to expound from the scriptures all the things concerning Jesus and what was going to take place. And he did something, and I think he did it very purposely. The day drew to the end. They were going to go aside into a community and stay the night. And they besought him to come be with them. They said, you know, what you're saying is burning in our hearts and there's something that's stirring, but they still didn't quite get it yet. They didn't quite see it all yet because they were seeing through different glasses. And Jesus was constrained by their hunger to have him with them. And the Bible says, he sat down to eat with them, and in the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they saw him. In communion with him, in that kind of time where they took time to be with him, they saw Jesus. The Greek said, we just want to see him. Took some time. Took Jesus talking to them about the word. Took walking with him. And he showed them himself. So we're just going to keep walking and talking and breaking bread with Jesus, aren't we? Because seeing, we want to see. I give glory to your name, oh Lord. Glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Now, Lord, we surrender to you and we ask you to keep opening our eyes to see you. Keep opening our heart to beat entwined with yours. Keep fashioning us, working with us, and making us just like you. Jesus, we want to see you more than ever, ever, ever before. We thank you for the privilege. Would you raise your hands before the Lord, please? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of you. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.